Hi, I'm Biggs. I'm here to tell you about the wonderful opportunities afforded to you by subscribing to all the wonderful podcasts here at the Not Safe for Network. Subscribe to Montucky's Guys at montuckysguys.blogspot.com, and you could find a career in woodworking, mechanic, or TV VCR repair. Subscribe to We Had a Good Life at wehadagoodlife.com, and you'll discover opportunities such as cobbler, fire and brimstone layer, or advanced lifeguard technician. Subscribe to Shooting the Shit Show at shootingtheshitshow.blogspot.com, and you'll love the prospects available in the field of cell phone sales, dragon grooming, or masters of the custodial arts. Subscribe to Real Roulette at realroulettewithzackandbiggs.blogspot.com, and you'll be awed by the chances to spread your wings in dot matrix printer sales, do-it-yourself manual writer, or subservient satanic minion. Subscribe to Box Office Battle at boxofficebattle.blogspot.com and explore the magnificent fields of farmhand personal assistant, snake oil salesman, or professional couch surfer. And don't forget to sharpen your workplace skills with the new podcast that's debatable coming soon. The Not Safe for Network is dedicated to help you find that shiny new job that you never knew you wanted.
Dude, we got to figure out a schedule, get more consistent.
Yeah, we should. It's been hard because we were recording the album and then it was Christmas.
Yeah, so. that was
just destined to fail.
Yeah. I diddle die, medium soup.
I diddle die, medium soup.
Are we going?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jump on it.
Tonto.
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What day is it?
It's New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
We just listened to Ice of Boston, which is my New Year's Eve tradition. That's true. It's been my tradition since high school.
Really?
Yeah. One day on the podcast, I'm going to tell the story of the Nowcore compilation. It's very instrumental in a lot of moments in my childhood.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. What's it? Nowcore?
Nowcore. Yeah. It's just it was like a compilation with a bunch of emo music that my brother bought at Hastings when I was in like fifth grade. And it's pretty much shaped all of the music that I like now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really impressive to like look at it and be like, holy fuck, every band I like is on here.
I did that kind of, yeah, I had a similar experience.
I went back to Hastings a couple months ago to try to find that, the Hastings here in Bozeman, to try to find that, and they looked it up, and it's out of print, and they can't get it anymore, and I was so fucking disappointed.
It's
I
out
want
of
it.
Print, like they won't make it anymore?
Yeah, like, if I can find that, if anyone ever sees, then it's called Nowcore, the Punk Rock Evolution. It's a cover based on, like, the Modest Mouse Lonesome Crowded West cover.
Uh-huh.
It's like it's got a bunch of like bowling shoes and shit. If anyone ever sees it, it's just a CD. Fucking buy it and send it to me, and I will give you however much money and like weed and beer that you want ever. Because that's the only fucking CD that I want anymore.
I'm gonna try to find it on eBay now.
I wish you the best of luck.
So we have a little thing to do,
a little year end review,
and we're gonna do music, movies, a little bit of TV.
Tiny bit of TV.
We couldn't think of a lot of TV.
From this year. So much TV, yeah, but not from this year.
My weight in fucking One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like over 100 episodes.
Yeah, I watch. It doesn't get easier.
Just draw my list.
Sorry, man. Should we just like jump right into it? Just knock the TV list out of the way?
Yeah.
I don't feel any reason to, like, preamble too long.
No. What was your number five?
My number five was Foo Fighters' Sonic Highways.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed that program quite a bit.
I did enjoy that one as well. I haven't watched, like, the last episodes. I stopped after one of them, like, the fourth one, I think. I just haven't watched it, but...
Yeah.
Plan on going back and watching the other one. The concept of that show was they were recording a different song in a different city.
Yeah.
Like a new song in a different city each week.
Yeah.
And like the episodes were all about that city's like history with music and what its contribution was to different genres.
Yeah, some of the episodes are really like just stand out as really important to me, I think.
Yeah, like the
Seattle one was really great.
I don't know if I saw that one.
I don't think you did either.
The
Washington, D.C. one was
fucking
great. The D.C.
one was cool. That was the one with...
Ian MacKay and...
What was the one with Albini?
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. Chicago was a good one, yeah. Yeah, and you like go in and you see these different recording studios, and it's really cool. It's a really cool show. Really cool idea for a show and an album.
Yeah, like, it's really... crossover. It's just interesting and really great.
Dave Grohl's doing cool things.
I've said it before, I think Dave Grohl's hipster-proof.
Yeah.
He's just, like, the coolest dude. at every level, he's just always been the coolest dude. And I've heard people, like, say kind of negative things about them, but it's always, like, I kind of think Dave Grohl is a douche, but also I see his appeal. Like, that's the worst I've ever heard about Dave Grohl.
Yeah. I don't think he's douchey in any way. I don't know the guy, but from what I've seen...
He seems like a really cool dude that's doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, he just seems like a dude that enjoys his life because he's doing what he wants to do in life.
Yeah.
Cool. My number five is How I Met Your Mother. They finished out this year, right?
Yeah, they did. That was my honorable mention.
Yeah, I had to throw it in because I'm pretty sure our lists are like identical except different spots.
They're remarkably similar.
But I had to throw it in because... I watched the last season and it was really, really good. I thought what they did with it was, it drags on a bit. It's a little bit longer than it needs to be, I think.
Sure.
But at least for that format for the show, like the entire weekend is what's going on. But the last episode had me weeping. So
yeah, that show's really good at making you cry.
Yeah. I think it needs to get on the list just because of that. And also, I've been watching it since I was, like, 2000, I think I started watching it in 2007, after it started.
Yeah.
But it's been there for a while, almost 10 years, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's really great. Like, it and Scrubs are probably, like, Cheers and Frasier.
Yeah, definitely.
Or, like, Friends, just, like, long-running sitcoms that
have been there for
like, universally great.
Yeah. What's your number four?
I have Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
See, that's my honorable mention because I was going to put that over How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
But I, because How I Met Your Mother has such a soft spot in my heart for so.
Yeah, but I think that show is fucking incredible. Yeah.
It's probably one of the smartest shows on TV.
Yeah, I think it's doing now what The Daily Show used to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
In like a better and... like more direct and I don't know, like I would say maybe even more effective way.
Yeah. I said it before, but I think that Comedy Central really hates themselves for not jumping on John Oliver.
Yeah.
Because when he was hosting The Daily Show...
It was, like, in top form.
Yeah, when he was hosting it, it was fucking great, and I almost didn't want Jon Stewart to come.
I know, me too. I still regularly think about Carlos Danger and Google.
Yeah.
Danger!
So good, dude. Just funny.
Yeah, John Oliver's incredible.
There's something about a British man telling us what's wrong with our country. Yeah. That's very appealing for some reason.
Teasing one of the upcoming lists, have you ever seen John Oliver's stand-up special?
Uh-uh.
It's really great. It's called Terrifying Times.
I might have.
We should watch it. Yeah, it's really good.
I think I've seen parts of it. Because he used to host that game show on Comedy Central.
Which one?
I don't remember what it was called. I think it was him. It might have been another British comedian.
I don't remember him hosting a game show. He has a stand-up show on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
John Oliver's New York stand-up show. Which is also very good, for what that's worth.
Yeah. Remember Beat the Nerds?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, that show was great.
Beat the Geek?
Beat the Geek, yeah.
Yeah, Blaine Kapach was on that show.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe he didn't.
I don't remember John Oliver ever hosting a game show.
Maybe, who was it? I'm going to look it up. British comedian. Oh, dude, if I could find episodes of Beat the Geeks. Jimmy Carr?
No. This is riveting.
Sorry.
I'm not going to cut any of this either.
It just bugs me now. Oh, if any of the listeners went to grade school with me, Eric Tooney.
How long have you been trying to figure this out?
Forever. I swear it seems like forever.
At least a month.
But we all know the runs that you do in gym. They're called suicides.
Right. Immortalized in Coach Carter.
Right, right. You go and touch the line. You go back and touch the other line. You go back to half court. You touch that line. You go back and touch the line. Then you go to the third, whatever. You know what a suicide is. Mm-hmm. In grade school at Boulder Elementary, we called them something else, and I don't remember what they were called. So if you went to grade school with me, please send me a message on the Facebook, give me a call, email me, tell me what they were called, because it's killing me inside that I don't remember. I've asked everybody that I can think to ask, and nobody remembers. So if you feel like letting me sleep a little easier at night... Shoot me a message and let me know.
Please do, because
I can't Google this.
I feel like I let you down when I didn't know.
It's okay. If it was something I could Google, it wouldn't be a big deal, but I'm I am impregnated with wonder now, and I want to know where Tom Petty's from.
What's your number four?
You're the worst.
You're the worst.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
It was really good. We just watched it
Christmas.
Yeah, over Christmas, and we only watched like 7 episodes or so.
Yeah, we still have the last 3 to finish.
But I was pretty impressed for it being one a new series in its first season, and it's like a sitcom. It's just a 30-minute sitcom, and it's
fucking incredible.
Yeah, it's really good. It's
really ballsy.
It's really simple. It's really ballsy, and it's just really simple. Like, there's literally 4 people.
Yeah.
With, like, a few, like, recurring characters here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen a show that just focuses on that few of people, because really the 2 main characters are the real focus, and the other characters are almost, they're, like, in every episode, but they don't have, like, they're not the main focus of every episode. They have, like, their... side storylines, but they get resolved very quickly, I feel like. So, and usually it usually has something to do with the main story that's going on. So.
Yeah, it's really just like enjoyable.
Yeah.
And like different. It's breezy.
Yeah. It's just really different great. From what we've seen before. That's on FX, right?
It is. And it's one of the just like most laugh out loud funny shows I've watched in a really long time. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And like, it makes me laugh
have
a
like,
lot.
Relatively, I mean, maybe not unknown, but like, the main, like, all the actors.
I had never seen any of the main four cast ever. Like, there are some side characters that are, like, comedians that I know and shit. Like,
Flo is in that show?
Yeah, Flo is in that show, which makes no sense.
It doesn't. I always forget that she's actually an actress.
Yeah. Thomas Middleditch was in a great episode of that show.
That was such a good one, dude. Plays, like, that hipster.
The perfect hipster, yeah. Speaking of Thomas Middleditch... Oh, no, fuck. We have to wait for that, but he is on my list later.
We don't have to wait for that, because number three for me.
Well, I haven't... Okay, yeah, just do your number three, and then I'll do my number three after that. We'll do it snake style.
It's Silicon Valley.
Also, one of the best comedies to come out in a very long time. Yeah,
that show's just stacked, though.
It's crazy how good that cast is.
Yeah, that show's got... Yeah.
I know we talked about it, like, when it came out. On the podcast, but like, let's just run down that cast again. We got Thomas Middleditch. We got Kumail Nanjiani. We got Martin Starr. We got Zach Woods. We got
TJ Miller.
We have Christopher Evan Welch before he died, and he was incredible.
Yeah.
We have, what's her fucking name? The girl? Can't remember her name. But she's very good. Amanda Crew is her name. We got Big Head.
Big Head. Yeah, he's on Marin. I should have put Marin season two.
Marin is very good, too. Marin's, I watched that in one day, season two in one day.
I watched, like, bits and, like, I feel like I missed an episode here or there, but I got, like, most
of it. Yeah, you were there for a lot of it.
They kicked it up a notch in season two. Dude.
Yeah, that really found its groove. Was
so much funnier.
Jonah Ray's episode was fucking great.
Yeah.
My number three.
Yes.
Leftovers.
That's your number three. Okay.
It is.
Very good show.
Yeah. I want to watch it again. Just straight through. I want to spend the day watching Leftovers.
I've never seen, I will say this for that show, I've never seen a show that's made me feel disgusted to the point where I want to vomit at the beginning of the episode and taken me to weeping because of the sheer tragedy that's going on.
I know. It's really great emotionally.
Also, the only show I've ever seen that's shown a very, what seems like a very accurate depiction of a stoning.
I know. That was really upsetting.
Oh,
very, very God. Upsetting.
Oh, God.
My number two, because we'll do it snake style, as we just decided. Mm-hmm. Silicon Valley. No need to go any further.
And my number two, Sonic Highways.
No need to go any further. My number one, You're the Worst.
You're the Worst is your number one?
Yeah, I love that show.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Not bad. My number one, Leftovers.
All right, we did it.
We have the same list, but in different order.
Coffee break. Sip time. I watched This is the End again last night, and Michael Cera was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Sip time.
God.
What list do you want to do next?
You want to do your stand-up?
All right, yeah, I'll just, like, bust through this. Do you want me to go from bottom to top or top to bottom?
Go from 10 to 1.
Okay, I could also, let me pitch this to you. I could go 6 through 10 and then 5 to 1.
So, like, 6
Yeah, I would 10. Be like, I would do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
And then I would do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. You should spend, like, 30 seconds longer on the first one because I'm going to grab some more coffee.
Okay, god damn it. Well, I'm going to start with some honorable mentions. The first honorable mention is Nick Vatterott. I really don't like that you're doing this. I'm very scared. please go quickly. We got Nick Vatterott for amusement only. It's pretty good. He's like one of those Chicago dudes. He directed a lot of stuff with TJ Miller a couple years ago. And then we have my other honorable mention is Bob Odenkirk's Amateur Hour.
Oh, yeah.
thank God you're back. He did, give a brief description of what Amateur Hour is, Bob Odenkirk is not really a stand-up. He, like, is pretty much only an actor and sketch comic. He does stand-up, like, once a month. Yeah. But he's like, I've had this same 45 minutes for the last, like, 7 years. So he went to The Meltdown which if you like follow comedy, you know it's like one of the most popular places in LA for comedy right now. And he was like, what's your best open micer? And he got Brandon Wardell to do 15 minutes. And then Bob Odenkirk did his 45 minutes because they're both, like he said, we're like both equally, we're both equal as stand-up comedians, basically. And so it's a combo album called Amateur Hour, Brandon Wardell and Bob Odenkirk.
Nice.
So now, those were my two honorable mentions.
Okay, cool.
I'm actually just going to go 10 to 1.
Okay.
Number 10, Patton Oswalt, Tragedy plus Comedy equals Time. It's Patton Oswalt, so it's just funny because that's what he is. Number 9, Cameron Esposito, Same Sex Symbol. Number 8, Joe Mandy, Bitchface. One of the best stand-up comedy names ever. Todd Barry, the Crowdwork Tour.
Really want to see
is number still. 7. It's really fucking funny.
Is it?
Yeah. Number 6, Bill Burr, I'm Sorry You Feel That Way. That just came out on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that.
Number 5, Max Silvestri, King Piglet. another great name. Number 4, Gerard Carmichael, Love at the Store. This is like one of the best just straight up stand-up specials I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like classic straight stand-up, and it's really good.
Is it on
Spike
Netflix?
Lee directed it? Yeah, it is. Or no, it's on HBO Go. It was an HBO special. Spike Lee directed it, and there's like this weird shot that he goes to a lot of the time that I don't like, but it's like from the back of the stage facing out, and it's like clearly a different type of camera and shit, and it just like doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But other than that special's really good. Chris Gethard, My Comedy Album, is number 3. Number 2 is Wyatt Cenac, Brooklyn.
That one's my favorite.
That one's fucking great.
It's that dude's so funny.
Yeah.
That dude's ridiculous funny.
Yeah, and then number 1, this is number 1 on pretty much every stand-up comedy list you'll see for this year.
Really?
Yeah, like I'm not doing anything original, is Chelsea Peretti, One of the Greats. It's fucking remarkable.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I should probably check it out. I wanted to see that one.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Whew! Woo!
Take a breath.
You powered through that one.
Yeah, I sure did.
So I didn't prepare a stand-up list because I didn't watch as much stand-up as Connor. Pero. Oh, God. Oh.
What you got?
I just got a hair in my mouth.
Mm.
That was gross.
Whose pubes?
It was super fucking long, so.
So mine?
Yeah. So I prepared another list.
That I did not prepare, but I wanted to.
Yeah, of the best moments in WWE, which is the wrestling.
Got to earn that WWE tag.
Yeah. Number 5, Cena gets demolished by Lesnar.
Are you talking about the 16 suplexes?
Yeah, SummerSlam 2014. It was Cena versus Lesnar. It was Lesnar.
It was Lesnar. It was
Cena didn't show up. Cena's body was there.
Yeah.
But Cena just got the shit kicked out of him. And the reason I put this on the list is as shocking is because normally you watch a WWE match and even the ones that are hyped up huge, especially the ones that are hyped up huge, there's a lot of give and take between the two of them.
Right.
Between the two people, they're both trying to get
It'll be
over.
Like 2 minutes of Cena and then like 4 minutes of Lesnar, maybe.
Yeah. And then like they'll switch back and forth and back and forth. Totally. Maybe even steal each other's finishers if it's a big enough match.
If it's Orton versus Cena.
Yeah. Or fucking The Rock versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18.
Yeah.
Where they just look at the crowd in amazement for like 2 minutes. But this match was weird. And it was SummerSlam. So it's one of the big four. And it was a match that was built up as big as Cena versus Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how John Cena got the belts. I thought the fact that he had the belts was pretty stupid.
Yeah. But he had them.
Daniel Bryan got injured, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But it was literally just Lesnar beating the shit out of Cena.
It was truly horrifying.
20 minutes. Just 16 German suplexes, And they looked like they hurt. Like Cena wasn't landing.
They were real.
Yeah. Like he wasn't landing.
He was landing on like the back of his neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, that's just not good. So that's my number five. Number four, Shield breakup.
You talking Rollins turning?
Yeah. When Rollins, like hit the other members of the Shield with the chair.
Sure.
That's my number four. Cause that was a crazy moment.
Where was that? Remind me. Like, when did that happen?
It was right after Blutista.
Okay.
Because they had just had that match with Evolution.
Oh, right.
And
then Batista, like, stormed out.
Yeah, and Batista left because people were making fun of him.
Yeah.
And, Triple H came out and was like, you always have a plan B. So that's my number four. Number three, Punk walks out. I'm not putting that on the list because I like that it happened.
But it was very shocking.
It was very shocking, and it was significant for
the
year.
I bet it's like one of the most significant moments of this still very new decade.
Yeah. It definitely was. Like, he has two of the most significant moments, like the pipe bomb and
walking out,
yeah, like leaving it, because like pipe bomb's what like got him to the point where he was like one of the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he was at the top, he fucking walked out because he didn't like what was going on, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And now he's going to fight for real.
Yeah. Now I'm going to start watching UFC. Yeah. So look forward to that podcast. So that's cool.
Number two, Steen's debut.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. NXT TakeOver R Evolution.
Yep.
In general was really, really
good.
It was
a really good show.
Yeah.
NXT's so good right now.
It is. They got the Genericos and Steens.
Mm-hmm.
I
haven't yet watched this week's NXT. But I really hope that Sami Zayn has come back, because he wasn't at the one after our Evolution naturally, because he was injured.
Yeah.
But I hope he comes back, because that's going to be an awesome feud, I'm sure.
Dude, I can't wait. That's going to be so fucking cool. I like the fact that Steen is in WWE now.
Me too. I really hope, like, with this feud, he and Sami Zayn both get, like, fast-tracked to the main roster.
Yeah. And then my number one moment, Taker loses at WrestleMania, which is a given because nobody really expected it. I mean, people did expect it, I guess.
Let me ask you this. Let me prepare this question real quick. I was talking to our friend, I don't know how good of friends you are with him. I know you know him. Kyle Saylor.
Uh-huh.
He asked me what I thought was going to happen with the title, because I don't know if you heard, but Daniel Bryan just announced his return.
Uh-huh.
So I'll just read you the text that Kyle sent me. So who do you think is going to dethrone Lesnar as champion? I'm really hoping it's not Cena. If it is, the Undertaker streak died in vain. I mean, that would make Cena invincible when it comes to booking. No one wants to see that. Everyone thinks it's going to be Roman Reigns, but he doesn't have what it takes yet to be the face of WWE. It'll probably be Daniel Bryan, if not Cena. What do you think about that?
I could see Cena doing it, but I don't want to see Cena doing it.
Me either.
Daniel Bryan would be the smarter choice on their part.
Yeah, basically how that conversation ended up is that he could possibly see them doing it for Orton. Just to, like, give him an actual legacy.
Yeah.
But I think we both agree. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think we both agree that Daniel Bryan is, like, their best option right now.
Yeah. What I think, or what I would like to see happen, I guess, because it's going to be Cena versus Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
January 25th?
Yeah. What I think would be, because is Daniel Bryan going to be in the Royal Rumble?
I'm pretty sure.
Like, that's when he was going to return?
I think so, yeah.
That would make most sense, probably. So, say it's Cena versus Lesnar at Royal Rumble. I say... God, that's a hard one. Is there a another pay-per-view before WrestleMania?
I think, isn't it Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
In February?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they skip March.
Uh-huh. Or they go like the end of the March.
Yeah.
Hard to say, but because they'll have the World Heavyweight Championship match first, I would assume. And then they'll have the Royal Rumble match last. That's the way they've been doing
sure.
it. So what I think would be pretty cool would be they'll have Cena versus Lesnar. And then they'll have like they'll have those two have a pretty good fight. Like pretty back and forth, like I was saying it should be. Or right. like it usually is, not that it should
right.
be.
Right, WWE style.
WWE style. To the point where they both have just beaten the total shit out of each other, where they can't both of them,
and someone just has to win, or yeah, else no one
neither
wins.
Of them can get up or something. So I say in that situation, because if Cena were to win the title again, it would be his 16th, I believe, which would tie him with Ric Flair. Oh. Which I don't think they would do for this scenario that I'm explaining.
They want to like make that a thing.
I think they would make it more of a thing, because what I want to see happen is Cena Lesnar battle it out. They're both dog tired at the end. Say Lesnar just barely gets the win. Seth Rollins comes out, cashes in Money in the Bank on Lesnar, and takes the title from Lesnar because he's basically pulling an Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then at WrestleMania, and then Daniel Bryan comes and wins through a Rumble. I think WrestleMania, if it was Rollins as champion versus Daniel Bryan, I think that'd be fucking cool as shit. I don't necessarily think it'll happen. In fact, it probably won't, because I don't think they're going to give Rollins that big of a push going into WrestleMania.
Sure.
But I think it would be really fucking cool.
That would be really cool.
Ultimately, I would say there might be something in Brock Lesnar's contract that says that he... I could see him being the kind of guy who's like, if I'm coming back, I want to be in the main event at WrestleMania as the champion.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, this is, I think you and I are going on this in the same direction, so. Then, is that like Lesnar wins at Royal Rumble, and then Bryan wins the Rumble, and then it's Bryan Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which would be great, honestly. I would be
all right with that. And then odds are, if Lesnar does win, he's not going to be at Elimination Chamber.
Probably. Yeah, definitely not.
Like, I don't Why see would he him. Be? Yeah. So then they have maybe some kind of storyline leading up to Elimination Chamber about like people challenging Bryan for the number one contendership.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an Elimination Chamber match for that.
And then Bryan wins that.
Bryan wins that, or there's some kind of controversy, and then it ends up being like a triple threat or a fatal four-way at WrestleMania, but I would say Bryan wins that probably.
I don't want that. I don't want a triple threat or anything like that. That's I just what want Bryan Lesnar. I know it is. I just want Bryan Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think probably Bryan.
Yeah, but that feels like smart money.
Yeah, but I could see them trying to do a big thing for Cena's tying with Ric Flair.
We got to call Kyle and have him talk to us about wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for now, if you've been skipping forward through the wrestling, you're safe.
Actually, I have one.
Oh, you have mention. You more.
I have one honorable mention, and it's just the entire year that Bray Wyatt has had.
Yeah. I think he's probably my like favorite new character.
He keeps topping himself, I think.
Yeah.
He like gets more and more interesting. Which is really cool. So he's probably going to do some bigger things in 2015, I bet.
I bet. Yeah, he's really good.
He's really good, and he's a great talker. Like, he's probably one of the best talkers they've had in a long time.
Fucking captivating.
Yeah. And, like, it seems like some of the stuff he says is so, like, premeditated and thought out, but it seems like he's just spewing it off the dome like, mm-hmm. right there.
So either he's just, like, really good at memorizing the scripts they give him, or he's just, like, fully Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, or he is that person.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying to think about. But, yeah. Yeah. Right. So moving on from wrestling.
To movies.
To movies. What's your number 10?
My number 10 is Nightcrawler.
God damn it. I want to see that movie so
It's really, really good. It kind of feels... I didn't... I wasn't like satisfied by the ending, really. Maybe I would be if I saw it again. I just kind of wanted it to keep going a little bit further than it did. That's why it's my number 10. But I liked it a lot. Jake Gyllenhaal was amazing in it, I thought. I was really interested the whole time.
Word.
It's really good.
My number 10, I actually haven't seen. Actually, I haven't seen my number 9 and 10, to be honest with you.
You just know you're going to like them?
I know I'm going to love them.
Okay.
Number 10 is Tusk, which I rented. So I'm halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard so much about this movie in the past year, and I've listened to the podcast, and the podcast is so fucking funny,
it is.
Dude.
Yeah, there's just like no way I won't like Tusk. I haven't seen Tusk yet either. But.
No, but and it's like just such a cool idea to go from like fleshing out this idea on a podcast to making it and having it be like up to a hashtag on whether it's getting made or not.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I like Kevin Smith a lot.
Yeah,
I want to hang out with Kevin
Smith. He does really cool stuff. My number, you already did your number 10, right?
I did.
Nightcrawler, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My number 9 is Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen that yet either.
I haven't, but Planet of the Apes, the old one, used to be my favorite movie. And then I've always loved
that. That's awesome, because Planet of the Apes, the Mark Wahlberg one, has always been my favorite movie.
I thought it was funny that Tim Burton found a way to put Helena Bonham Carter even in that movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
She's an ape.
Rest in peace to their marriage or weird, whatever they were doing.
What was the joke that you
I saw a joke from Jensen Karp on Twitter that said, now that Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter have broken up, who gets custody of the spiders?
That's my favorite. That's
my favorite. Also a very good question. Mm-hmm. My number 9, I have seen.
Number 9?
Number 9.
It's a Tech 9 joke. Number 9?
I need to talk to you more about Tech 9 after this.
Okay.
My number 9, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That made it higher on my list.
Okay.
I think.
That's good. I like that movie a lot.
It was really good.
I just like, when I was... When I finally compiled the list of 10 movies from this year that I have seen, I liked a lot of them a lot more than I liked Guardians of the Galaxy.
I thought it was really fucking good. Yeah.
And I'm excited. I'm still excited about Marvel movies.
Yeah. James Gunn impressed me. The writer of Scooby-Doo.
And it's fucking Slither.
Oh, yeah. I heard Slither was actually really good for a horror movie, though.
Yeah.
From multiple people.
I just don't really fuck with horror movies.
No, and that's, baby. That's one movie I swore I would never see because the trailer scared the shit out of me. Cause it's
yeah,
just
it's
like,
a fucked up trailer.
The trailer has like all the fucked up shit, and then at the end of it, it's just that huge like girl in the barn, and she's just like, "What's wrong with me?" I'm like, "No, fuck that!
Everything is wrong with you.
Burn this movie. Burn the negatives." It fucked with me. It fucked with me.
All right. Well, we did a good job not talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. Batista, fucking amazing in that movie.
Yeah, definitely surprised me.
Yeah,
definitely surprised.
I'm excited about him in the new Bond movie. Honestly,
yeah, that is surprising as well.
Yes, my number 8. Just watched it yesterday. Chef.
Oh,
Jon Favreau's Chef.
It was really good.
It's a really good movie if you have daddy issues. What up?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I could see that. I really like Jon Favreau. I think he's doing really good stuff.
Yeah.
Also,
just seems like a cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like somebody you want to hang out with. I'll notice about his movies, he's always got really like fast-paced, like choppy dialogue,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
Like Common Man Sorkin.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, honorable mention, going back to TV real quick, The Newsroom, not on my top 5.
No.
I was so fucking disappointed by the end of that season.
Really?
I'm so angry at it.
So it's done now?
It is done.
Like, the whole show's done?
Yep.
So it was the series finale?
Yes.
And you weren't happy with it?
No. I was not. I'm mad at Sorkin.
You're mad at Sorkin? Yeah. You got beef with Sorkin now? Yeah.
Right now, like, we're on a break. I'm sorry, continue. What's your number eight?
My number eight is Let's Be Cops.
Okay. I'll just bring in my number seven is Let's Be Cops.
Really? Because my number seven is Chef.
Okay, cool. Well, then now we're evened out again.
All right, good.
Let's Be Cops is very funny.
Yeah, Let's Be Cops is super funny.
It was uncomfortable seeing it right after the Michael Brown decision. Or is right after, not the decision, right after the Michael Brown shooting.
Oh,
was
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Just with the concept of cops, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, I think that Jake Johnston's really starting to impress me.
Yeah, he's really funny. I like him a lot. He was in Drinking Buddies.
He's in Drinking Buddies, which is really good, and I saw him in Safety Not Guaranteed.
Also very good in that movie.
Which is also, yeah. So I'm on board Jake Johnston. I think he's funny.
Yeah, I'm on board Jake Johnston and Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza, all those, like, hipster girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, any of those pairings, he's very good in.
Yeah. Yeah. Or with Damon Wayans Jr.
Yep. Damon Wayans Jr. with anybody is also very
yeah,
awesome.
He's
Have
really
you seen
funny.
Happy Endings?
Uh-uh.
He and Adam Pally are really fucking hilarious together in that show.
I've seen I think I've seen little parts of it when you were watching it last year.
Yeah, it's really good.
My number six is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. My number six, Gone Girl.
You just keep
Yeah, I imagine as we get closer to the top of this list, they get a lot more similar.
Similar, yeah. Gone Girl was fucking amazing.
Very, very fucking good.
I think you said it before, but he plays with your perception, the audience's perception. Fincher plays with the audience's perception.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. So well in that movie. He makes you think one thing, and even if you're a smart movie watcher, like if you know plot devices and you know like the basic structure for all the main archetypes of movies
mm-hmm.
that are out there, he still does a really good job of like misguiding you and making you think one thing and then completely changing it.
And all the performances are really good.
Yeah, I'll say it. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
I wish you would.
Fuck the haters. I'm on the Ben Affleck train.
I really enjoy Ben Affleck.
I really do too. And I'm tired of people telling me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, dude, me too.
Like, Affleck's good. Over it.
There are worse actors that we could be making punchlines.
Yeah, there are. I'm so sorry that Christian Bale's not playing Batman again.
Sorry.
He
did a great job in three movies.
Affleck can play
You
anyone.
Have 9 hours of Christian Bale as Batman.
There's a Kevin Smith joke where I think it's on one of the evenings with Kevin Smith. But he's like, when he was writing that Superman.
Oh, yeah.
I think, or no. He was talking about Batman. I think he was like, he had been in talks with somebody to write Batman, and they gave it, or to direct Batman, and they gave it to Tim Burton eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But they were asking him, who do you think would play a good Batman? He's like, Affleck. Affleck will play anybody. I think Affleck should have been the shark in Jaws.
He laughs. That is really funny. I don't think he's wrong, though. I think Affleck is way better than a lot of people give him credit for.
Yeah, he's really good.
I feel that way about Justin Timberlake, too, both as an actor and musician.
Yeah, I like Justin Timberlake as an actor for sure. He's fine as a musician. Like, he's not bad. It's not my music.
Yeah, you just don't like pop music.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, like, some of his stuff I can be all right with.
Yeah. He's just got, like, smooth jams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you hear, no one's going to hear, like, Justin Timberlake at a party and get mad.
No. I'm fine with him. Like, completely fine with him.
I'm glad we hashed that out.
Yeah.
What you got, number six? Did we already do that?
We already did that. I'm Guardians.
Oh, yeah.
My number five is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Hey, that's my number five, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's cute.
It was really fucking good. It was really fucking good.
The Quicksilver scene.
Oh my
god. It was awesome.
And it had that was it, oh, is that a Gordon Lightfoot song or was it Jim Croce?
I don't fucking know, grandpa.
Save time in a bottle.
I think that was Jim Croce. I always get
sure. Let's go with Jim Croce.
I'm gonna say it might have been Gordon Lightfoot though. I always get those two confused. Is that Jim Croce or is that
that's Jim Croce?
Yeah, I think it was Gordon Lightfoot then.
Okay.
Operator, can you help me play this call?
That song's a straight jam.
I love that song. Number four. What's your number four?
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. Okay, my number four is Birdman.
I haven't seen that one.
It's very awesome. The soundtrack is really awesome. How they... I'm going to get like super sound design nerdy. How they panned all the drums. It's an almost an entirely drum soundtrack.
Really?
How they panned all the drums is really interesting. They used surround sound to pan drums. Huh. And that was really cool. Also, it's just a good movie.
Yeah, I heard it was really good. And I definitely want to check
it out. Ed Norton is incredible in it.
In everything?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I want to go on an Ed Norton binge soon.
Yeah, I would be down.
Watch some 25th Hour. Watch some...
I haven't seen that one.
We should watch that very soon. Watch some Fight Club again. Even though I watched it just before Halloween.
Get some American History X.
Some
up in
American
you.
History X. Really hate America in that. That'll make you hate America.
Dad from Boy Meets World's all racist.
I know, dude. It was fucking... It really fucked with me. I saw that movie too young and a Boy Meets World fan.
Yeah, and it's just... It's hard because if you watch Boy Meets World, which I have been lately...
Yeah.
Alan Matthews seems like the fucking coolest dad.
I know.
He seems like... Because he, like, teaches you lessons and he makes funny jokes. And he just seems to be a very caring father.
He does. He seems great in every way.
But then he's just all racist.
Just a humble grocery store manager.
Yeah.
Happy with his station.
With Leonard Spinelli as his assistant manager.
I remember Spinelli.
Everybody does, but he always introduces himself.
Well done. What's your number three?
Interstellar.
Hey, that's my number three, too.
Yeah. It was fucking amazing.
I would give anything to see that black hole for the first time again.
Oh, my God. That entire scene made me feel so many things.
I just, like, it's such a cliche, but I just love looking at space.
Me too, dude. Like, the big shots, like, the long shots of, like, the shuttle next to, like, Saturn and shit.
Crazy.
Going through the wormhole was fucking cool.
Oh, my God.
Like, just, like, the connections that he made throughout the film, because it plays with time and space like no other film really does.
Yeah, it's really, really good. That should be the, like, the tagline for this podcast is it's really, really good.
It's really, really good. And then my number dos is Whiplash.
Okay. I mean,
I tricked you into doing an accent.
Really? Did I do an accent?
Yeah, you're like, okay, my number.
I literally didn't even notice. Whiplash, I fucking loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
J.K. Simmons is, honestly, it probably won't be like best actor or anything. That's my favorite performance of this year, I think.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons
he
in that movie.
Surprised the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was capable of it because I've seen him as J. Jonah Jameson. I've seen him being a cock before.
Yeah. Just like the level of cock he was, dude. And then the level of cool dude he also was in
that
movie.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. Very, very good. Very good movie. Very good movie. What's your number two?
My number two is Boyhood. I've seen it twice now. I cried a lot the first time, and I laughed a lot the second time. So that's, I think, a good thing about that movie.
Yeah, I think we swapped our ones and twos.
Yeah, my number one is Whiplash.
My number one's Boyhood.
Okay.
My number one's Boyhood just because that movie, for one thing, I love the idea. I love the idea.
The scale of that.
Yeah, just it's such a big fucking movie. Like, been in the works for almost 20 years. This movie has.
Crazy.
Which is insane. Because, like, they shot it over 12 years, right?
Yeah.
But how long do you think he's been working on that movie?
Probably a long time.
Yeah. Like, fucking incredible.
Incrazable.
Incrazable. I'm going to make up that word for this movie.
Do it, man.
It was incrazable.
I support it.
it was a very good movie with very good performances.
Ethan Hawke.
And
I feel about Ethan Hawke very similarly to how I feel about Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Which he just doesn't get enough credit.
Right. He's really good. He's really good. And I always overlook him, too.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think I see him in as much. But, and also,
speaking of great dad performances, sorry to interrupt again.
No, go.
But Ethan Hawke
in that great movie was a great performance. Dad. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of kids yearning for dad's interest movies going on.
Yeah.
Because we watched Chef yesterday, and that's basically that movie. God.
Yeah. That's a really great way to get me.
I felt bad for that kid. But yeah, then the main reason I chose it for my number one is because it's basically a movie about growing up when we grew up.
I know. I feel kind of bad for adults,
because they can't enjoy it the way we enjoy it.
Like, obviously they've grown up, and like there are some universal things about like being a dude and growing up. But like, you and me, I think, are really lucky that we got to see this movie when we did, because it was like about our childhood.
Yeah, we basically get to put ourselves in the character's shoes.
Yeah, it was very special.
Yeah, and it was really cool just because like there are like visual and audio cues as to what year it is in the film. Because they're very subtle, like either just like playing a song from that year or like characters talking about Star Wars Episode III.
Yeah.
Like, just like little things. It's like, oh my God, I remember.
Or talking about like The Dark Knight.
Yeah, like shit that I was so fucking into throughout my childhood.
Also, like, they would like start, or they would end a scene in one room of a house and then start a scene a year later in a different room of the same house.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And, but like smoothly, like someone walking into
the
room.
It's weird. It's like little vignettes of different years in this kid's life, but it goes so seamlessly.
Yeah. It captures being a kid in that time period so perfectly.
Yeah. And then, like, ends with basically something that's very relevant to us now, which is, like, okay, you're an adult now. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Really cool, though. Really fucking cool movie. So that's my number one.
That was a good movie talk.
That was a good movie talk. Let's get into music, because I have 10 minutes until I got to go to work.
Oh, yeah. God damn it. But we're going to spend so much time on music.
I know.
Dude, can you just be late for work?
I could be a little late for work.
Let me just bust through my honorable mentions then really quick. Actually, I should do that at the end because I think a couple of them are on your list.
Probably. What's your number 10?
My number 10, Lana Del Rey's Ultraviolence. It was very narrowly almost edged off by one of my honorable mentions. But it just didn't, because I haven't listened to it enough yet.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best pop records of the last 15 years.
Yeah. It's really good. I mean, it's different.
And it's so, like, wholly constructed as a pop record.
Yeah.
And it's got such a, like, defined sound.
Yeah.
And style. And production style.
She has, like, a strange way of, like, singing and...
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very like spacey. It's like she recorded it in space.
It's very spacey and very like old, like old timey too.
Yeah, I think she's got an old timey voice.
Mm-hmm.
My number 10 is Rooms of the House. A lot of dispute. That's a band I just started listening to this year, and I'm a big fan of them. I think they're really cool.
That record's great.
Yeah. I've only heard it a couple times, but I felt like I needed to put it on the list. So
I appreciate it.
That's my number 10.
Ooh, my computer's about to die. We got
time constraints all over the place. Oh boy.
Let's hope that doesn't die.
Okay, here we go.
My number 9, The Hotelier, Home Like No Place Is There.
That's a good one.
Fucking great. One of the best opening tracks I've ever heard.
Yeah, I really like the first track on that. That was one of my honorable mentions. Number 9, The Albatross, Foxing.
Yeah, actually came out in 2013, but a reissue came out this year.
Oh, really?
So it counts.
Yeah, I think that counts because I went to Spotify to check and it just said 2014. So
yeah, it came out in 2013, but it was reissued.
Well, I still like it all the
time. It's on my list too. So
okay, good. What's your number nine?
My number nine was The Hotelier.
Oh, right.
My number eight is Bayside's Cult.
That one made it higher for me.
Okay.
My number eight is Happiness Is Taking Back Sunday.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it's not my favorite Taking Back Sunday record at all, but for what came out this year, it's really good.
Good goddamn Taking Back Sunday record.
Yeah, it's just your standard TBS.
They're kind of falling into a similar niche to Bayside for me, which is like they're not really like groundbreaking anymore, but they're just like making really good records at what they do.
Yeah. I will say that I don't like Adam Lazara's voice as much as I used to.
Same.
Like he has more control over it now, yes, but I think it sounded better.
It just doesn't feel like his balls to the wall.
Yeah, it feels more adult.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Number eight. Happiness Is. You already did that. What's your number seven?
Keep Doing What You're Doing.
Hey, me too.
Really?
Yep.
You blew it. We saw them, and they played pretty much this whole record.
They played a lot of it, yeah.
They are going to be something big, I think.
Yeah.
They're already starting
to blow up a little bit. They also put out a Weezer cover EP.
Oh, yeah, called You Blew.
Yeah. It's all covers from the Blue album.
Yeah.
That's very good as well.
It's really cool. They're a really cool band.
They have a new EP coming out on Jade Tree, which is really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, the first song from that came out. It's pretty good.
Word.
Number six was Foxing, the Albatross for me. So
number six is Get Hurt, Gaslight Anthem.
That's one of my honorable mentions. I just didn't spend enough time on it.
I didn't really either, but I still listen to it quite a bit, and I love Gaslight. I love Gaslight. So
yeah,
it's up there.
They're becoming similar to that for me.
Yeah.
What I said about Bayside and Back Sunday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Honestly, I think 59 Sounds my favorite, but I think Boomboxes and... Or no, what's the name of their first album?
Sink or Swim.
Sink or Swim, yeah. I was thinking Sirens and Condolences or something. I feel like they have similar album covers. But their first album is really good. I think that's one of my favorites of theirs, actually.
It's
even though it has a weird
great
sound quality.
Yeah, it's like it's a lo-fi.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking good lo-fi punk record.
Yeah.
That was your number five?
That was my number six.
That was your number six. What's your number five?
My number five is Cult.
Cult? Okay. Makes my number sense. Five is Joyce Manor, Never Hung Over Again. I know that's higher on your list.
Oh, yeah.
It's short, like a Joyce Manor record always is, and it's fucking great start to finish.
Yeah, yeah, I'll talk about that later. What's your number four?
Hebrews.
My number four
Say
is
anything.
Cope.
Cope? Okay.
Yeah. Hebrews was really, really fucking good.
I like Hebrews as an idea. Just like, I think No Guitars is fucking daring, and I think he really pulled it off incredibly.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that one's higher on my list. I just put Cope up there because Cope, it's definitely my favorite Manchester album.
Really?
Yeah. Because, and I think it's just because I've listened to the other ones to death.
Sure.
Like, I've listened to those other records so much that right now I need to take a break just because I can't appreciate them anymore.
Sure. That's kind of, I feel bad saying this, that's how I've gotten with, like, the Punchline records.
Really?
Because I've listened to them so much, I just can't really do it.
I get to that point
right
with Coheed
now.
Sometimes. That's why I like I can listen to Coheed every year, but I have to listen to them in the right season.
Sure. Okay.
Like Christmas, like each album has a different season too, but Christmas is a big like Willing Well, or not Willing Well, but Good Apollo season. But yeah, Cope, I put Hope with that too. I like Cope better than Hope because I like the loud
stuff. Yeah, I'll talk about this later. Cope and Hope, they're on my list later. They're equal to me. They just like do different things emotionally, which I think is really impressive. The exact same songs do completely different things emotionally.
Yeah, that's really cool. My number three is No Coast.
No Coast. Okay.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah. Just, it's their first album in 16 years. Braid. And Braid is amazing. Braid is simply amazing.
Yeah. My number three, Andrew Jackson Jihad, Christmas Island.
I haven't heard as much of that, but I have gotten way into Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Yeah, it's a little less like punk
Yeah.
But it's just the songs are like
it's
beautiful.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like beautiful in the Andrew Jackson Jihad way.
Yeah. I like those.
Linda Ronstadt is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
I think I've heard that one when you've played it before.
Yeah. My number two, I'll just get it out of the way, is Cope Hope.
Cope Hope?
Yep.
Cope Hope.
I still need to do No Cope.
I know.
That's my goal for 2015. No Cope will be finished.
That's a big...
That's a big goal. I got a lot of projects going on for the first half of 2015.
Yeah. My number two is Hebrews.
Okay.
Because I fucking love Say Anything, and I think that this record is probably the best record he's put out since
In Defense of the Genre.
Genre.
I agree. It's kind of a return to form, I feel like.
Yeah. Which, that's not to say that I didn't love Say Anything and Anarchy, My Dear. Because those are both really good records in their own way.
Yeah, they grow on you a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely would say Anarchy, My Dear, I did not like it at first, but it's definitely grown on me a lot. I think it's really cool to watch the transition that he makes from In Defense of the Genre to Say Anything,
uh-huh,
to Anarchy, My Dear, to Hebrews. It's a really cool transition. You can see him like grow musically.
He's a very interesting story.
He's a very interesting story indeed. And we saw Say Anything twice in 2014. So they had to go higher on my list because we saw him do Is a Real Boy and Hebrews, which is the first record and the last record.
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
I haven't even thought about it like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's a very Say Anything year for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number two on my list.
Do you want me to do my number one?
Yeah.
It's No Coast.
No Coast. Okay.
I love Braid so much.
Yeah.
Speaking, to bring it full circle, that Nowcore CD... Braid, New Nathan Detroit is the first song on that
CD. I think
you
told me that.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah. My number one is Never Hungover Again because I love Joyce Manor, and I love how short their records are, and I love the fact that I can go out on my break at Walmart
and listen
to an entire Joyce Manor record. And still feel like I've listened to an entire record.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's 20 minutes, they all feel like
they're very
full songs. Yeah. Like, they fit so much into a minute and a half song that it feels like a 3-minute song, and that's really fucking cool.
Totally.
I don't think I've ever listened to a band that's done that kind of thing for me before, that scratched that itch.
Uh-huh.
So that's really cool. And so that's my number one. Also, it's just a fucking great record, melodically, and just... everything about that record is really cool. Every song on it is amazing.
Yeah.
It was my soundtrack pretty much the entire fall semester of 2014. So,
yeah, it's great. All of these records that we have mentioned are great. What are your honorable mentions? We are on a timer now.
I don't have any honorable mentions.
No honorable mentions. I'm going to just bust through them. Assume I'm saying they're really, really good after all of them. Pianos Become the Teeth. Keep You. Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties, We Don't Have Each Other. Law Dispute, Rooms of the House, Prawn, Kingfisher. Tiny Moving Parts, Pleasant Living. Dikembe, Medium Ship. Doctors of Geography, Four Padre, a little local one for you. Gaslight Anthem, Get Hurt. Taking Back Sunday, Happiness Is. Tiger's Daw, Charmer. Did it.
Yeah, those are all really, really good.
We Had a Good Life, Doesn't Like Music.
We Had a Good Life. Did you know they didn't like music?
Not a single bit of music, not even hip-hop.
Especially not hip-hop. They hate rap.
2015, we're going to be consistent.
We're going to try. We had
Let's not miss a week leading up to the Cherry record. How about that?
Okay, that's the goal. We will do a podcast every week leading up to the Cherry
that's
record.
That's at least 3 months straight.
Yeah. So let's do that.
And let's kill this before my hair.
All right. Have a good year.
It's my mother. And she says, "Hi, honey, how's Boston?" And I stand there all alone on New Year's Eve, buck naked, drenched in champagne, looking at a bunch of strangers, looking at them, looking at me, looking at them. And I say, "I'm fine, Mom. How's Washington? Hey, I saw Boston is mugging and reflects no light that day." So I guess the party line is I followed you up here. Well, I don't know about that. Mainly because knowing about that would involve knowing about some pathetic, ridiculous, and absolutely true things about myself. I'd rather not admit to right now. I woke up at 3 a.m. with the radio on, that Gladys Knight and the Pip song on, about how she'd rather live in his world with him than live in her own world alone. And I laid there, head spinning, trying to fall asleep, and I thought to myself, oh, Gladys, girl, I love you, but oh, get out!